Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Follow KFH Radio and start listening. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
An Odyssey sports station. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. KNSS HD2 Clearwater. Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Hey, Wichita. It's Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily coming up next exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hi, I'm Mike Yam with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The 2024 NFL draft might be over, but teams are still adding talent to their rosters. The Commanders have signed former Notre Dame quarterback Sam Hartman to one of the biggest unrestricted free agent deals so far this offseason. It includes a guaranteed $225,000 base salary and a $20,000 signing bonus. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor confirmed following the draft that Cincinnati will not be trading Pro Bowl defensive end Trey Hendrickson. He previously requested a trade from the Bengals on April 24th over contract concerns. And former Iowa punter and Ray Guy Award winner Tory Taylor received a congratulatory text from his new starting quarterback, Caleb Williams, not long after he was drafted by Chicago in the fourth round. Williams jokingly wrote, "Hey, you're not going to be punting too much here." This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. We get the week started here. After a very busy weekend, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Kaster, alongside Jad Chambers, manning that IHOP hotline, and we are ready to rock and roll today as we make our way into now, I guess it's the NFL, I don't know, preseason? But we're through the draft. We'll take a look at that, of course, with the Chiefs and with some other teams. Some of our, you know, favorite things that happened, who really got away and got some good stuff in the draft. We'll talk about that, of course, on the show today. Another weekend of Royals baseball that we'll certainly get into today as well. Some big, you know, movement, player movement in the college ranks over the weekend. We get Dylan Edwards and his commitment to K-State. Certainly a big, big deal for the Cats football team. Reunites with Avery Johnson, one of his best pals, in just a wild story. And, you know, return now to Manhattan for Dylan Edwards. That'll be a lot of fun to take a look at. It's a great time of the year. I love it. We've got the draft in the books. Now you get these rookies. You get to get them into camp and see them work. It's a quarterback-loaded class, which is always interesting. Plenty of all of that to get into today. As we look back at the Chiefs draft, and, you know, when we last left you, they had made one pick, right? Xavier Worthy of Texas. Fastest guy in the draft. You saw his 40 time, all that stuff. I've seen very mixed reviews on him as a prospect, but he's clearly a guy the Chiefs wanted, targeted, and moved to get. They traded with the Bills. They get him out of that trade, and Jaden Hicks, more on him in just a second, a safety in the fourth round. I thought one thing that was really interesting about the Chiefs draft here is that all but one of their picks came via, not necessarily in this draft, but the draft picks were all traded at some point in time, except for the fourth round pick of Jared Wiley, the tight end out of TCU. That's it. And so that's pretty wild to think about how much they've moved around and maneuvered and done these things. So, you know, their first two picks are the two positions we identified as clear needs, which was wide receiver and tackle. They ended up with a corner, but not until the sixth round. So that becomes a bit of a question. Kamal Haddon out of Tennessee is who they took. Most places grading that pick fine. Most places grading all the picks fine. The Chiefs, by the way, Warren Sharp, you've probably heard of, analytics guy. He loved the Chiefs draft. I think, you know, picks over value, some metric he used. He called the Chiefs, I believe, the third best draft. I think it went Lions, Dolphins, Chiefs, according to that metric. And again, this is all, I love looking at that stuff and people like making their decisions on a draft right now. Like, I don't know historically how good that is, but all those are doing is are saying, you know, here's where they were expected to go. Here's where they got them. That's a pick over value. But it, you know, at the end of the day, it only matters about the evaluation of the player. But we'll get into all of the Chiefs draft here. We've got the IHOP hotline open at 869-1240. I want to remind you that mornings at KFH, the staff here enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Got us fueled up and ready to roll on this Monday. Get this week started right. We'll have some giveaways later in the show. We'll give away some HTO iced tea, some HTO coffee from Free Reign. As we'll do that throughout the show. Lots of good stuff to do. Let's get it started on the phone lines. The IHOP hotline is hopping already. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Anthony, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I heard your introduction, and I know you was talking some draft talk, but I guess the real buzz is the Dylan Edwards making the commitment to Kansas State, because if you recall, that's who Avery Johnson was trying to recruit the first time around, and he ended up going to Colorado. I guess
he ended up going to Notre Dame. He ended up going to Notre Dame and then Colorado.
Then Colorado, because Deion been following his kid since he was 4 years old. I'm like, okay, now who follows a kid since they were 4 years old? Now, come on now, give me a break on that. I mean, I know Deion is who he is, but he's got to repent for telling that one. But
it's a big one.
But right. But the fact that he has come home now. Now, some people are going to say this. Some people are already saying that Avery Johnson needs to put some weight on him. Some people are already saying that Dylan Edwards. Basically, what they're saying is, how can K-State survive with two small guys in the backfield? Well, when I seen Avery in play, he looked pretty good to me. When I seen Dylan for the little bit of brief time that he got to play, he looked pretty good to me. All I want to say is, welcome home. I think it's a good move. He's back where he should be. And it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out when K-State ironically plays Colorado, who's also coming back home to the Big 12. So it's going to be interesting to see how these scenarios play out.
It is, and don't forget DJ Giddens is there, and I would imagine DJ Giddens still gets the, you know, the larger share of carries. I cannot wait to see how they use Dylan Edwards, because I think, you know, it's not like you're going to have, you know, Dylan Edwards immediately step into this Deuce Vaughn role, which I understand because of stature, people's comparisons there. You know, K-State has a long history of running backs in this, we'll call it body type and skill set, that have been really, really successful. Yeah, Sproles and Deuce Vaughn, maybe their two best ever, both did that. But Dylan Edwards is just a little bit different, right? He is the fastest high school player I can recall seeing, just like to your eye, right? Quickness, speed.
Right.
He is number one. He and Breece Hall, honestly, are the two guys that explode the most that I've ever seen to my eye. High school football field. Avery Johnson's not far behind them, which is what's crazy. But he's going to get used. He's going to get used in a lot of different ways. DJ Giddens is really good. DJ Giddens ran for 1,200 yards last year and 10 touchdowns, averaged 5.5 yards a carry. This is the best news for DJ Giddens ever, right? Like, he's going to – this will open up the K-State offense in some really unique ways that I cannot wait to see how they do it. Now they've got, you know, new people in charge of the offense with Colin Klein out, but just to have that tandem back there, but Dylan Edwards can catch the ball, so they can line him up out wide.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be awesome to see how he fits in this year.
I think you'll see, I don't want to say more of a West Coast, but probably a spread offense type, to where you utilize your running back, but you also utilize Dylan, get him out in open space and let him do his damage, which is also will probably open up the vertical passing game as well, too, because now you have to worry about the running game. And if you put both of them in there, now you have to run about the running game. You have to worry about, okay, what is Dylan going to do? Are they going to swing it out to him on like a halfback screen or a slot type? And then if you try to bring the defenders up to defend against that, now you got the vertical game and you pop one open over the top. So I'm glad to see him come back home. One question I do have, and I'm going to let you guys bring us a good show. I noticed the photo shot that they took of Dylan Edwards. Is K-State going to be coming off with the all-white uniforms? Just kind of curious about that.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it. His picture's there. The all-whites look good. It doesn't change a lot about the uniform. As far as a great alternate, I think it's a great alternate, but I don't think we see him in that uniform in the pictures, unless that's a uniform they're going to roll out this year, and I'm not sure.
Right.
I love that K-State stays traditional, but that is a nice variation of their traditional uniform. Yeah, it looks good.
Question, then I'm going to let you go. Do you like that look, or do you like what Ron Prince had introduced back in the day when he brought in the purple pants? And I'm going to let you answer.
I didn't even see that uniform. Let me look and see if I can find that all purple. Ugh, I don't think I would like that just off the top of my head. Let me see if I can find an image of that real quick. So I don't see one quickly. So I would tell you though that I highly, highly doubt that I would like that more than what we've gotten these all whites. These all whites look good. I mean, I'm seeing a variation of it, but I don't think it was real. I think it was somebody just imagining up what that would look like. All whites are going to be a nice look. And just introducing the white more, even if it's white pants and stuff, white helmet, that's all going to look good. Anthony, we appreciate the call, helping us get started here on Sports Daily. It is a big signing. I love that it's happening, because Dylan Edwards always felt like a K-State guy back from his original commitment. I understand the reasonings behind him ending up at Colorado. I understand him leaving Colorado. And I understand the need and the desire after doing it for a year to come back home, basically, and play with your buddy. I mean, Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards have a chance to do something very special that teammates, I think, that have been friends and teammates, you know, a lot of their lives, and they were rivals in high school because they went to different schools. And I just retweeted TJ Cleland, 12 News, just put out a great video of just one of the all-time games where those two were just going blow for blow. But you can see that. I just retweeted that. They have a chance to do something special, and the story is written. Like, it's already written. They can succeed, and it's there, right? Childhood friends on the same team doing these amazing things, and they are a good fit together. That's what's crazy. They're a good fit together. Teams cannot sell out now against K-State, against Avery Johnson, against DJ Giddens to some degree, and against Dylan Edwards. And, you know, at minimum, it gives Avery Johnson another passing option, which we're still asking a few questions about and wondering, like, how is that room going to come together? But it looks like it will be pretty good for K-State. So, we'll get more into that. We'll get Tommy connected here in just a little bit. But, you know, it is a very noteworthy thing that happened over the weekend that could have just massive implications. So we'll get into it. When we come back, though, we'll dig into the draft a little bit, and let's start with the Chiefs specifically. What they did, what we liked, what they're still lacking, it's all there for us. We'll take a look at that when we return. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. I want to remind you that Royals baseball on KFH is available for free on the Odyssey app. You can tune into KFH for Royals Toronto at 7 o'clock after the Wichita State Coaches Show with Brian Green tonight at 6. Download the Odyssey app, search for KFH. You can also go to kfhradio.com. Catch the live stream. Thanks for listening to that right now, if you are. Thanks for watching us as well on our video stream. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. X now. So good stuff here. We'll come back a little Chiefs draft talk when we return on Sports Daily.
KFH.
ESPN Bet ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Taking a stroll through ESPN Bet right now. You can get the Royals tonight on the money line at plus money. Jonathan Bolin filling in for Alec Marsh. Remember, they just took 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays. Now they got to go to Toronto. But if you think they can maybe continue that recent good fortune against Toronto, you can get them plus money tonight. I'm actually interested. There's an odds boost on there tonight for the Braves, the Padres, and the Dodgers to all win. Parlayed into a plus 480 bet. I might actually hit that one. That's pretty interesting to me because all three of those teams are at least even money to win, if not favored, with decent pitching matchups. So that's probably what I'll take a swing at tonight on ESPN Bet, is that little MLB odds booster right there at the top of the app. Tommy, we talked a little bit about Dylan Edwards there. Let's get into the Chiefs draft here because, you know, a lot of people, when we talked Friday, it was the Xavier Worthy trade. I think generally people liked what the Chiefs got there. They moved up. They got a player they clearly identified. I think the reviews on him as a prospect are generally pretty mixed. I've seen him all over the place, quite frankly. He is far from, you know, everybody's favorite receiver in this draft. He just does a thing really well. Now, I'll say that, and again, I'm victim to this because I usually get biased toward Big 12 players, especially Big 12 receivers. But I loved watching Worthy play in college. He was dominant, which I think matters. He's obviously fast. There are some sort of shadows of Mecole Hardman in here, too, as much as there are Tyreek Hill, where it's like, oh, this guy's really fast. Let's just take him. But I don't think taking him was nearly Well, one, I don't think taking him was a reach. Taking McCole Hardman was a reach at the time. Like, they way overdrafted Hardman. I don't think they overdrafted Worthy. It just sort of comes down to what you think of him as a player. And what's really interesting, long story short here, Tommy, is we sort of trust the Chiefs with offensive lineman evaluations, right? So, like, them evaluating, and apparently Brett Veach had been connected to the tackle out of BYU for a long time. Them evaluating him, moving up to get him, makes you feel like he's probably a good player, right? Receiver hasn't really been that way. Rashee Rice is a good pick. Other than that, they've missed a lot at receiver in the draft in recent years, just in evaluating receivers in general in recent years. So you don't get that same sort of benefit of the doubt when it comes to the Chiefs evaluating receivers, but they did get in the first two rounds two guys they clearly liked, which is what we wanted the whole time, right? Go up, be aggressive, and get the players you like. Clearly they did, because they traded up to play to take both of those players.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend, and we were talking about that pick of Xavier Worthy, and his point was, well, look, I mean, the good thing about them drafting a really, really fast guy like Xavier Worthy is that they already have a really, really fast guy in Hollywood Brown on the roster that then, you know, it can maybe take a little bit of pressure off of Xavier Worthy. He doesn't have to be the only fast guy and he can have some time to develop. My rebuttal to that, really like Xavier Worthy, was that when they drafted McCole Hardman, Tyreek Hill was still on the roster. And so they drafted a really, really fast guy, but they had a really, really fast guy on. Also, and McCole Hardman didn't develop into this, you know, superstar wide receiver one that I think a lot of people were hoping that he would be, the heir apparent to Tyreek Hill. Yeah. So, you know, I do think that there is some historical precedent in that. And I just think that it's going to be important for Kansas City to recognize what they have in Xavier Worthy. And I agree with you. They've not drafted wide receivers well, overwhelmingly, over the last several years. It's just one thing that they haven't really done well. It'll be interesting to see if Worthy can kind of bust.
I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's better than McCole Hardman. Like, if we're talking about prospect to prospect, like, I like him significantly more than McCole Hardman. I just, you know, was he my favorite receiver in the draft? No, but they weren't going to get one of those guys anyway. I'm fine with that pick. I think it helps you, honestly, as much as anything else. It helps you if Hollywood Brown is awesome and you can't afford to keep him next year. I do think there was a little of that baked into this pick. And we got to remember, too, like, Tyreek Hill was not a year one superstar. You could see flashes, right? But it didn't happen right away for him. And I honestly don't think there's a ton of pressure on Worthy to be a superstar. I think he is going to be put in a position where they're looking for basically what they were hoping, I think, out of Kadarius Toney. Honestly, like, get him the ball, I don't know, four times a game and see if he can and sort of break one loose and then see where it develops from there. Rashee Rice is the guy. He's the guy that's going to take the volume because we know he can do that already. And, you know, for however much time he misses next year, time will tell on that. We'll just have to see. But I don't know that there's a ton of pressure on Worthy to be that good next year. They need him to be good in 2 years when Hollywood Brown is hopefully awesome this year, right, and then moves on. But the Chiefs had a really fast guy in the offense for the last 2 years in Marquez Valdez-Scantling and couldn't catch the ball. So, you know, there are a lot of different ways to utilize a talent like that. And I think there's very little pressure on Worthy, like almost none in this first season. I really believe that. So do they need another veteran wide receiver? Probably wouldn't hurt if they can afford it, right? Because I do think Worthy's going to not just like immediately be a, you know, starting opposite of Rashee Rice in this offense and Hollywood Brown. Like, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden run three wide receiver sets and then run Worthy out there every play, even though they took him in the first round. And traditionally you might see that. I doubt it, right? I don't think they're going to do that. He'll be the fourth passing option, right? Yeah, in this offense, maybe third. It'll probably be third. It'll go Rice, Kelsey for sure. But then it's probably going Kelsey, Rice, Hollywood, Worthy. That's what I mean. When everyone talked about such a need at receiver, I'm like, do they really need a receiver? Whoever it is isn't going to be one of the top three passing options on this team. But if Hollywood Brown leaves, I totally get it, right? He fits that same type of profile. He can come along. I get it. I don't have any problem with the pick. Because, Tommy, in the second round, they aggressively move again to get a tackle, which means, A, they really like the tackle. Kingsley Suamataya. It's going to take a while to get that right, probably, but I'll take that swing at it. But a BYU guy, another Big 12 guy, a ton of size. I have seen now in the aftermath that Brett Veach had been tied to him a lot, which means they liked him, and I'm good with that. That, to me, that tells me they identified a player. They did both of the things we wanted to see them do. They still have to get the players right, but at least strategically, they did exactly what we thought they should do.
Yeah, and you know, after that second round pick, you know, I'm not sure now if they're going to go out and try to get a Band-Aid, a veteran left tackle. I'm not sure that that's really going to be in the cards. It wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs roll with Wanya Morris in week one as their starter and then, you know, try to integrate Suamatu into the rotation, you know, and wouldn't shock me one bit if at some point in the season, if he develops and progresses in the way they would like him to, he ultimately takes over as the starting left tackle for Kansas City. I have a hard time thinking at this point, you know, that they would go and spend money on a veteran left tackle. I would have been more on that camp that they probably would go and do that if they had used a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick on a left tackle. But going up and getting him in the second round and trading up for him means that they think he's going to be the left tackle of the future.
For sure. I mean, that's big time draft capital, right? They didn't make that lightly. What was the exact pick number? 63. So they moved up two spots to take him, three spots, kind of like they did with the receiver.
It was like only, yeah, it was only a couple.
But it was a guy they wanted to make sure they would get. And, you know, the Chiefs, I don't think, had my favorite draft, but I love what they did in the draft. I don't really know any of the other. I don't know Kingsley Suamataya. I don't know anything about him, right? I have no idea, except he played for a good team. He's big, and the Chiefs like him. I don't really remember Jared Wiley at TCU. He is a monster, by the way. He's going to block.
Yeah, he's one of the best blocking tight ends,
right?
I think, in college football.
Which is interesting, which helps if you're thin at tackle. Tommy,
yep,
a little bit, run some two tight end sets and give a little help over there on the left side. So that actually makes some sense to me. But I don't see that and think he's like the heir apparent to Travis Kelce. He won't be that, I don't think. It's the Jaden Hicks pick that really has people in love with this draft for the Chiefs. I can't tell you how many times I've seen draft evaluators say this was their favorite safety in the draft. I don't know why he fell to the fourth round. I didn't watch a lot of Washington State football, a little bit. Certainly wasn't paying close attention to their safeties. But apparently this guy who's got size was a lot of people's favorite safety in this draft. Guess where the Chiefs get him? Out of that Bills trade, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you believe in these things, then that probably means he'll be a great player. But that is another spot where if you're, you know, I don't know what his skill set will allow him to do or how they fit him into the rotation, but there was a lot of drafting for the future and not necessarily this year in this draft. What are the chances, you know, we see any of these players as key contributors? And then in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round, by the way, they take linebacker, corner, linebacker, again, positions of need, don't know anything about any of the players. But Hicks maybe plays right away. Maybe he also is an heir apparent and a depth piece. It feels like this draft could pay real benefits in 2025, Tommy. But in 2024, I don't know what it will do. I mean, I think the best chance for a big-time contributor right away is Suamataya. I mean, certainly there is a chance Worthy does that. I do think people maybe have their eyes a little too wide on Worthy this year. But these are all players I think that could help them fill roles when players that are currently on the roster ultimately leave. And that's an interesting thing for this draft class that I think, you know, it's not going to be the one next year where we look at this class and be like, home run, home run, home run. It'll be one we look at in a few years and think that.
And that's not uncommon. I mean, look at their draft a year ago. Outside of Rashee Rice, who was a key contributor last year? I mean, Felix Anudike Uzomah wasn't really. He got some reps, and he was kind of forced into action late in the season. But he wasn't, you know, like this revelation, even as a first round draft pick last year. I think the fact that the Chiefs didn't attack edge in this year's draft means that they do still like FAU, you know, to be a guy that can come in and contribute at a high level next season and beyond. But really, outside of Rashee Rice in last year's draft class, there really wasn't any major key contributors. Wanya Morris was in last year's draft, and he wasn't really a massive key contributor. And then from there, you go further down the draft from last year. Chimari Connor got a little bit, you know, of action last year, and then really we didn't hear from the other guys, you know, much at all last season for Kansas City. So, you know, that's not uncommon. I think that we'll probably see that a little bit more so with this year's draft class than we did last year.
You got to look, too, at last year if you are, right? Wanya Morris, this could be his year. Did they do the same thing there with Felix Anyedike Uzomah? You know, I don't know that anybody else out of the class last year is going to step up, but they might. They're going to need a corner. They took a few of them last year. But Morris and, yeah, FAU and Morris are the two guys you would really look at this year to see and if that works out. I hope Worthy and steps in right away and can play. I think that's unlikely, and I hope people don't have unreasonable expectations for him. They don't need him to do that. They haven't needed any wide receiver to do that. I mean, I don't think you're going to run out there and say Worthy and Hollywood Brown if Rashee Rice misses time or how they're going to fix that. So I don't know if they're, but they also have Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. And I know, again, that makes people cringe, but the reality is they spent a lot on those two players too. They are not ready to give up on those two players. It wouldn't make any sense to give up on those two players. So they're fine there. Worthy, project. I don't know about the BYU left tackle. Left tackle is a tough position that translates. So can they start him at right tackle? I don't know. But, I mean, he's the one that would be the most needed to step in right away, I would guess. Or maybe, you know what, Tommy, they took Wanya Morris in the third round last year. Maybe Wanya Morris is going to take a big
step. Maybe they don't want to pull the plug on that. And I get that.
I don't think they want to pull the plug at all. I think it's more of, do they want to put all their eggs in that basket? Wanya Morris was okay, right? Like I think the arrow's still pointed up slightly with him. It's just, what's the ceiling? Is the ceiling an everyday starting tackle, or is it a rotational guy? Because rotational guys are critical in the NFL. Offensive linemen are hurt as much as any player in the league. But I thought the Chiefs did a good job. I brought this up, Tommy, before you hopped on here. All but one of their picks came at one point in time from a various trade. They had one pick that didn't come from a trade at some point in time in this draft. That's pretty wild. Everything else moved around a little bit. So we like what the Chiefs did strategically. Who had your favorite draft, would you say, if it's not the Chiefs? Maybe it is the Chiefs. Who had your favorite draft?
I think that the Vikings had a really good draft. That's a team that I look at that, you know, had some substantial needs. And I think that they got themselves to a point to where, you know, they're not going to be the favorites in their division, but I think that they can certainly be a team that, you know, they're not going to be irrelevant. At least I don't think so next year. And they needed to do that with the loss of Kirk Cousins, you know, being able to go out there and still build around, you know, Justin Jefferson. And then with the free agent signings that they had and that sort of thing, I think I'm probably going to go Vikings probably as my favorite pick.
So the Lions were graded out very highly by a lot, because I just went and tried to like soak it all in. A lot of people really like what the Lions did, but I got to be honest, the Lions have a lot of players I don't really know because they didn't take, you know, headline stealing guys. I'll give you two, and I liked the Chiefs draft, but I'll give you two others I really liked. Love what the Eagles did. If the Eagles are right on one, if not both, of the two corners, they took Quinyon Mitchell and they took Cooper DeJean.
I like Quinyon Mitchell. I like both of those guys.
I do too, quite a bit. You know, Shipley from Clemson, we know a little about, you know, probably a handy player. I don't know a ton about the rest of their draft, but I know I really like those two corners. And that team, I don't remember a good team being as bad at one position as Philly was at that spot last year. So you talk about like quickly potentially fixing a problem. They may have done that. So I love what Philly did. And Chiefs fans may not like this. I'm with you on the Vikings, by the way. I think that one's a given because I think they got, you know, a quarterback that fits perfectly and what a lot of people consider the best defensive player in the draft. How could you not like that? The other one that I haven't heard a lot of people grade out well that I really liked was the Chargers, Tommy. Alt, who was, you know, one of, if not the best tackle in the draft. So that's never a bad thing, right? Ladd McConkey in the second feels really good for them. They got to replace Keenan Allen. And, you know, what Keenan Allen did is sort of this safety blanket and just, you know, caught a ton of passes. I think that's what a lot of people envision Ladd McConkey out of Georgia doing in the NFL. Different size, obviously, but, you know, kind of a really, really good route runner that can get into the slot and help him out. I really like that fit there. So I liked what the Chargers did. And they had a ton of picks, by the way, for a roster that needed a little rebuilding. So I thought they did a good job, too. Let's go to the IHOP hotline before we switch gears and take a little break. We'll go to Fred, wants to talk about Xavier Worthy. Fred, welcome into Sports Daily. What's on your mind on this Monday?
Well, a couple things. I've watched film on Worthy running routes, and in my opinion, he's going to be a day one starter. He is not just a field stretcher. He can run those routes and run them with speed and cut without losing his speed. He is an excellent wide receiver selection, I think. And then I want to make a comment on the sixth round pick, the Haddon kid. He got his shoulder hurt and operated on, but he's, you know, after the seventh game or in the seventh game against Alabama. But he is rated as the second best corner in the SEC and listed as a shutdown corner. And he was also rated number five in the country as a shutdown corner. So, and you haven't heard much about him, but if he's able to play right away, or even mid-year, he's going to play some because he's obviously you don't get second in the SAT or fifth in the nation as a shutdown corner unless you can play some. So you haven't heard much about it, but I think he was a heck of a steal for us in the sixth round, probably because of his injury. But those are my two comments.
I mean, could be. You can say hell of a pick too, Fred, just by the way. It'd be okay. I don't know.
Well, I don't said it.
I know. You're good. You're good. That one we can do. We can do that one. Unless Jad has already shut down the broadcast here because you and I are in trouble. No, you're good there. I would ask you this, Fred. I am curious. If you see Worthy as a starter, where as a starter?
Well, I think
are the Chiefs running? Are the Chiefs running
receiver? But
are the Chiefs running 11 personnel? Do you think, which means they would run three wide receivers out there, which they could? I'm curious to know what people think about that. So if they do, is he wide receiver three?
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And the reason I ask that is I'm almost certain if they run 11 personnel and run three wide that Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice are going to have to be on the outside, and then it so is Worthy out of the slot? Are either one of those other players capable of playing out of the slot? I'm not sure. That's why I'm curious about that. I also think early on in the season, they may run a little 12 personnel and run two tight ends out there. So that's where I'm saying, like, I don't know where he starts, if he starts, because if he does, that means you're sitting Hollywood Brown or Rashee Rice in two wide situations.
Well, Rice may not be available for 6 weeks or six games or so.
He'll miss time. He'll absolutely miss time. We don't know when or how much, but he will miss time. Yeah. I agree. But I'm saying if we're talking about the next Super Bowl when they're trying to win a game, right? Is it a three wide set? Are they comfortable enough with left tackle to do that? I think you gotta just everybody hang tight, because I don't think Worthy stepping in week one and doing what we've seen Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or Puka Nacua or some of these other, you know, first round wide receivers in their rookie years light the world on fire. Tank Dell. Like, I don't think that's gonna happen for Worthy right out of the gates that way, because I don't think they have a place for him that way right now.
There's one more thought for you. You got Brown, and he's got some speed. But if you only have to defend against one guy who's a burner, you got a better chance of doing it. But you put two guys on there that can go, one of them with world-class speed that nobody can match, who can play outside or the slot. It's going to be difficult. There was one general manager who I read said when we drafted Worthy, F... me, because he was going to have to put together a defense to defend against that kind of speed. So, the coach Reed can conjure up all kinds of ways to use multiple speeds. And don't forget, we got that rugby player who's not slow. He was clocked at 22.7 miles per hour, top end. I don't think his 40 time is quite as hot, but his top end speed is. And I can see him being used as a kick returner and Worthy as a punt returner. So I don't know. I read a lot about it every day. I think I'm addicted to it, but
we all are. We all are, Fred. It's okay. It's all right.
I use it as an excuse because I have to drink my coffee for breakfast, and so I get to sit for 30 minutes and read about the Chiefs. Anyway,
there
I'll
you
let
go.
You go. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Fred. There's a lot of good stuff there, Fred. I appreciate that call. It's a good call. Yeah, if he can return, that's a bonus. I don't know if he can. I'm not sure.
I think he can. And the only thing, and I love all of the attributes about Worthy and everything that he brings to the table. The upside is clearly there. So I don't want to be negative about the pick. I like him. I like the pick. The only thing that I think is a little interesting is that we knew what the issues were with Kansas City's wide receiver core last season. It wasn't a lack of speed. That was not the issue with the wide receiver core. We know what the Chiefs prioritize, and that's speed. I'm surprised that after what they went through last season, they didn't prioritize ball handling a little bit more, catching the football a little bit more. Not that Xavier Worthy can't do it.
Worthy has a drop issue.
That's the only thing that I've gone back on slightly.
Worthy has some drop issues. I really think this is a pick that's more 2 years down the road. I think that's when we'll see Worthy, if he's going to be great. But he can certainly be useful this year. And how they use him will be fascinating. How they're even able to use him, right? Because we all want, like, Hollywood Brown is good. Hollywood Brown's a good player, right? And, and they he needs to be good this year more than Worthy needs to be good this year, I think. Maybe Worthy's just a superstar and proves us all wrong. I'm not sure that that's the case. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about that and other things. We'll get to some Royals baseball from over the weekend as well as we make our way through. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily. And we'll be right back on KFH.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Crestview Country Club over at the restaurant has some delicious soup, Tommy. You and I are both members over there. I love their soup. I love their clam chowder. Good soup story for you. I know how much you love soup. So, meal prepping last night, which I do. And it's not always soup, but sometimes it is. I let my daughter pick the recipe. She picks like an Instapot because she knows how to help me cook in that thing. So, she gets this recipe for chicken enchilada soup. And I'm like, oh, it'll be good. I've had that, you know, different places. It'll be good. So we get there, we're going through. One of the ingredients here is something that, you know, I was like, we're going to have to really shop for this at the grocery store because I don't know exactly what this is. It was something like chipotle chilies in adobo sauce. Okay. Like, okay, that makes sense. So we get it, we get to the store, she finds it, she's very proud of herself. It comes in one of those little cans, you know, like you get green chilies in, like the smaller can.
Yeah.
And so we're making the soup. And we're going through, and most of the things in these recipes just call for the whole can of whatever it is. Like, so we're putting in the cans, I open it up, we dump the can in, everything's good. We get done. A lot of seeds in there when I pull the lid back off the Instapot. I'm like, that's interesting. We get everybody, we're all trying it. Mom's at work, so it's just me and the kids. First bite, it's like, oh man, that's spicy. And I'm like, shh, it's not spicy, it's just hot. Like, don't scare your brother and sister. Then they're starting it. So turns out that can that I put in was supposed to only be 2 teaspoons of this sauce. I've dumped the whole can in there. And we're dying. Like, all of us eating it. Like, dying. And I was so proud of my kids because they're trying to power through it. One of my girls was like, oh, if you just dip your tongue in the milk and hold it there, it makes the sting go away. Like, and they did it. Like, they really did power through and get most of it done. I've never been more proud. But then I had to tell them what, like, spicy butt is. I'm like, don't be scared later if you go to the bathroom and it doesn't. So it was a great experience, a great proud moment for me. And now I have to wolf down this fat because I'm not going to waste it. I'm not throwing this away of one of the spiciest things I've ever eaten in my life. I will be eating all of that now because I don't think my kids are going to help with it anymore.
I'm sure there's some kind of remedy, something you could put in there to take it down a notch.
I don't know, but I think I can like pull the, like sift the ingredients out of it and dump it in and just kind of leave the juice and it would probably be all right.
But now it's just like been marinating in that for
I know, it's not going to be better the second day. No. Yeah, it's not. It was so damn hot. But my kids powered through it. They really did try to eat it. I was so proud of them. And we all made it through the night, so we lived. But yeah, read the recipe a little bit closer. Go to Crestview. Their soup's good. You don't have to worry about that stuff. All right. We'll come back. Hour number two. We'll talk a little Royals baseball. We'll dig further into the draft. Biggest head scratchers. Now moving forward, what questions were created for teams out of the draft? We've been through the Chiefs. What about the rest of the league? We'll get into all of it as we make our way through Sports Daily.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.